Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Een programma wat wereldwijd door miljoenen wordt bekeken. En wat komt uit die kerk onder de rook van Disneyland in Anaheim, Californië? John Mark Corner is een vriend van Bobby Schuller, even jong en even enthousiast. En hij spreekt vandaag in Shepherd Grove over genade en vrede. En natuurlijk het koor van Hour of Power. Zij zingen over het feit wat je leest in Jesaja 40. En er staat een prachtige tekst. Zij die de Heere verwachten, putten nieuwe krachten, zullen opstijgen als met vleugels van een adelaar. En ouderen worden niet moe en jongeren niet mat. Nou, ik heb hier een paar jongeren bij me die nog niet zoveel vermoeidheidsverschijnselen vertonen. Kwaas G, heel hartelijk welkom. Je hebt je vriend meegenomen, die ga ik zo meteen voorstellen. Jij bent een rapper, een motivational speaker, een coach. Je spreekt van hart tot hart. Je Curaçao geboren en je doet een aantal hele leuke dingen in Nederland. En ja, laat maar horen wat jou bezighoudt.
Zal ik maar een liedje voor u rappen?
Ja.
Nou, laten we dat maar doen. Ben op een missie, ben gedreven. Niet makkelijk, maar veel zweten. Deze missie is niet makkelijk, maar lijden. Elke dag op mijn knieën hard strijden. Was nooit op drugs, maar wel op seks voor het huwelijk. En dat was niet best. Ik kon het volhouden, ik wist het niet. Ik kon het, maar ik wilde niet. Foto van meids bleven me aanstaren. Eigen broeders en zusters hoeden me aanklaag. Leefde in zonde, kon niet zonder. Wilde hoger komen, maar bleef onder. Oude missie is voorbij, nieuwe is gekomen. Hé, word wakker, maar Jezus zal spoedig komen. Een mooie vraag is, voordat hij hier is, word jij er in een oogwenk meegenomen? Yes.
Heel erg mooi. Dat kun je toch veel in een paar woorden zeggen. We gaan met jou en je vriend daarover praten. We gaan ook nog meer muziek van jullie horen. Wat ik zo leuk vind, dat je ook naar jullie ook naar Hour of Power kijken. En dat er ook zoveel jonge mensen kijken.
Ja.
En dat is helemaal goed. Nou, ik ben benieuwd wat je te vertellen hebt. Je gaat je even omkleden, hè? Want je wil een t-shirtje aantrekken, dacht ik.
Ja, dat zullen we maar doen.
Denk ik. Ja, oké. Okay. Nou, ga jij lekker.
Prima.
Oké, okay. En wij gaan naar Shepherd Grove.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And it is not a mistake that you are here today, or if you're tuned in with us today. God wants to speak to you, and there is a purpose that you are here right now.
Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're here. Turn around to those who are standing next to you. Greet them warmly in the name of the Lord and say, God loves you, and so do I. I'm so glad you're here today because today is just an awesome day for me. Not only because I don't have to preach today, but also because we have two amazing guests that are friends of mine. Frank Sontag, you may know from the Frank Sontag radio show, is here today. We're going to be interviewing him. And we also have John Mark Comer here, all the way down from Portland, who will be giving our message today. It's going to be an awesome day. And we're just so glad you're here. We know you're going to leave here lifted with your hearts rejoicing at the goodness of God, the goodness of Jesus in our lives. And we just want to say we're so, so glad you're here and hope that you leave here feeling refreshed, renewed, and restored. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. We're praying for everyone watching on television that your heart would be healed, renewed, restored. Everyone here in this church that we would leave refreshed with a new spirit and a new perspective. Help us to see and live like you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
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 open your hearts to the Holy Spirit as we read the Word of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Wow. So today, I'm just so privileged to have someone who somehow became an instant friend. Let's give him a warm welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank
you.
Frank
Sontag.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bless you. So, you're a biker.
Yes.
And I really want to get right away to your amazing story of how you came to know Jesus and become his disciple. And it really begins with a motorcycle accident.
It does. June 17th of 1984, like many young men trying to find themselves, they buy a motorcycle.
Of course.
Which is what I did. And I ventured on the freeway at that time to go to Hollywood Park, which no longer exists, to see a horse run. I had no helmet on at the time. In 84, there are no helmet laws. And I looked in my mirror to make a lane change, and I saw a car barreling up on myself and the woman I was seeing at the time. And California Highway Patrol estimated on impact we were hit at 110 miles an hour. I'm here to say I'm alive, and so I wanted to find out what life was about. So I sold everything I had, moved away for a time, came back to Los Angeles, and ended up on the radio at a music station in town as a spiritual teacher. I fell into the New Age. And I spent 21 years teaching New Age principles, which is all about self. It's seductive, it's appealing. It temporarily kind of satiates you, but I still was empty. And so for more than two decades, thousands of people I taught, allegedly, away from God, until a moment on a golf course here in Orange County in 2009, where my best friend and his brother decided to confront me with the gospel. I'm about to ready to hit the ball, and Pastor Dale says, who's Jesus Christ? And I stopped. Are you kidding me? We're playing golf. I used to hang up on Christians on my program. I had a resistance to even opening my heart to God because I was in full rebellion living for myself. So Pastor Dale says to me, Frank, if you didn't make it home today, are you right with God? And I instantly said, of course. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a teacher. I'm good. But something in my heart said, too defensive. And so he asked that I would pray in my car, or meditate, as it were. I was a Buddhist, if anything.
Yeah.
And I had never opened a Bible, even though if you listen to my show, Bobby, it would sound like I knew what I was talking about, because I would just slam the Bible, even though I never opened it. But I had no scriptural reference, so I sat in my car. And I began to quiet down, and I heard, are you ready to submit to me? And I knew who it was. Because when the Father who made you speaks to you, you recognize his voice. And so I said yes. And then he said words that forever changed me. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but he said, pick up your cross and follow me. And a few moments went by. Sensation went away. I called my two friends that are hooping and hollering and praising God. And I said, I want to go to church. 5 weeks later, when Pastor Dale mailed me a Bible, that I was up late one night on my knees, my life was kind of falling apart. And Luke opened up to me, and when I read, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me, I hit the ground.
I can't imagine.
And I said, it's undeniable. I couldn't make that up in a million years. So I said, Lord, I'm all yours. I don't know what you have in store for me, but as long as you give me breath, I will sing your praises, and I will follow you and share with anybody that comes in my path how good you are. And that's where I am today. I was hungry, Bobby, after my motorcycle crash. I wanted to understand why I survived. I knew I shouldn't have, so I recognized on some level there was a divine hand, but what it drew me into the New Age, other than it was all about me, was trying to find meaning, yes. And so spirituality, I think a lot of folks in the New Age, if they hear the gospel and really take a moment, I think the Holy Spirit can convict any one of us. Look at me. I was 54. I was big, famous, beautiful wife, home, but yet I was empty, but I was searching, and I know there are a lot of people still steeped in it that are really searching, because I know they didn't know that there's something missing.
Well, Frank, you're doing amazing things for God, and I just can't wait to see how you continue to develop. I think you have such a deep and rich knowledge and hunger for the scriptures and for how they apply in life. Well, maybe we'll have you here sometime to preach for us. We'd love it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And what's the name of your book?
The book is called Light the Way Home, My Incredible Ride from New Age to New Life. And I never thought I would write a book about my dear friend Lee Strobel, who was instrumental in me coming to Christ when I read his book, The Case for Christ. He said, Frank, you have to write your book. And we wrote it, and Lee was gracious enough to write the foreword.
Thank you so much for being here. We
Thank
love you,
Bobby.
And appreciate this
Thank you, brother.
Opportunity to hear your story.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you all.
Shall be exalted.
Ik vind het zo leuk dat de taal en de muziek van God zoveel gebieden bestrijkt. En Kwas G en Regni, jullie maken muziek om jongeren van deze tijd te bereiken. Of voor Rick er ook nog bij?
Ja, tuurlijk. Jong en oud.
Goed zo.
Ja, ja, ja.
Vertel eens even, wat houdt jullie bezig?
Ja, wat mij bezighoudt voornamelijk, als ik voor mezelf mag spreken natuurlijk.
Je bent keurig opgevoed, zeg.
Wat mij bezighoudt is dat zoveel jongeren verloren gaan doordat ze niet weten wat hun missie is of hun visie is van het leven. En ze lopen tegen zoveel obstakels aan, waardoor ze geen uitweg hebben. En God biedt dat ons. Dus dat wil ik ze graag meegeven.
Ja. En dat doe je op heel veel manieren, want je rapt, we hebben je al gehoord. Je schrijft blogs, je doet van hart tot hart gesprekken.
Klopt.
Doe eens een hart tot hart gesprek met mij.
Nou, over wat wilt u het hebben?
Over het leven.
Het leven. Nou, het leven is mooi. Maar wat nog belangrijk is, wie het leven zelf is. En wie het leven heeft gegeven. En dat is Jezus Christus. En ik geloof dat Hij in u woont. Dus het leven spreekt door ons heen. Tot de anderen die nu naar ons kijken.
Ja, mooi. Ben je zo opgevoed of heb je het zelf mogen ontdekken?
Ik mocht het. Ik ben wel opgevoed, christelijk opgevoed, maar op den duur ging ik mijn eigen weg op. En daarna ging ik wel weer naar de kerk en met mijn ouders mee.
Waarom juist dit? Waarom deze generatie vertellen van, hey, God bestaat en Jezus leeft? Want zitten ze erop te wachten?
Nou, niet iedereen. Nee, niet iedereen. Velen wel, want ze kampen met een probleem, ze kampen met iets, maar ze hebben geen uitweg. En door middel van muziek, woorden hebben kracht. En doordat ik het via muziek verspreid, kunnen jongeren en ouderen die ernaar luisteren toch, dan hebben ze er wel wat aan. Dus. Ja.
Je hebt je vriend meegenomen, Regni.
Klopt.
Keurig vlinderdasje.
Ja, dank
je. Je hoort hier helemaal in de setting. Je hebt ooit het Junior Songfestival hoog gescoord, hè?
Klopt. Ik heb eerst meegedaan met Kinderen voor Kinderen in 2007. En in 2009 heb ik meegedaan aan het Junior Songfestival.
En wat zong je daar?
Verliefd.
Zing het eens even voor ons.
Ik kan niet slapen, ik weet niet wat ik moet. Je bent in mijn gedachten, vraag me af wat jij nu doet. Denk je ook aan mij zoals ik aan je denk?
Ook jij laat je leven leiden door God.
Klopt.
Waarom?
Ja. Ook al ben ik heel jong, denk ik dat God heel veel dingen heeft gedaan in mijn leven. Ik ben opgevoed door mijn oma en mijn tante. Mijn moeder is, toen ik geboren ben, is ze overleden.
Zo.
En dat heeft echt een impact gehad op mijn leven en dat ik echt voor God wil leven.
Ja, want opgevoed worden door je oma en je tante, zonder een vader dus.
Ja.
Dat is toch wel heel anders, want je hebt geen vaderliefde gekend.
Mijn vader is er wel bij geweest, maar ik heb niet bij hem gewoond, nee.
Nee.
Nee. Hij heeft wel geholpen, maar het is niet dat ik samen met hem in één huis heb gewoond.
De Bijbel staat dat God je vader wil zijn. Ja. Hoe ervaar jij dat?
Ja, ik ervaar dat heel erg. Ik denk echt dat God door me spreekt en ook wil zorgen dat ik door mijn ervaringen tot anderen kan spreken.
Ja.
Ja.
Jullie lijken me zo'n geweldig stel en gezellig stel. Volgens mij hebben jullie heel veel schik met elkaar.
Ja. We doen vaak veel dingen met elkaar.
Ja, bodybuilding bijvoorbeeld?
Nou, dat zie ik niet. Maar...
nee, Nee, hij doet heel veel aan sporten, klopt.
Ja.
En we hangen heel veel met elkaar uit. Ja.
Ja. Wat hangen jullie uit?
Van nummers schrijven, tot in de studio zitten, tot met elkaar naar evenementen gaan, naar conferenties van de kerk, van alles.
Ja, want jullie hebben heel veel optredens. Hè? Wat maakt jullie zo succesvol?
Wij verspreiden Gods woord. We zijn uniek. En we zijn gewoon realistisch. We doen niet alsof. Ja. Wat we hebben meegemaakt, dat laten we ook zien. Dat laten we ook horen.
Ja. Want in je rapliedje aan het begin, dat was nogal redelijk radicaal. Hè? Want het ging over seks en drugs. En daar je geluk in vinden. En dan zeg je heel radicaal, nee, dat brengt je niks. Zo zeg je toch?
Ja, het was mijn verleden wat ik heb meegemaakt in het kort. Maar dat geeft
wat
inderdaad
aan. Wat heb je meegemaakt?
Bijvoorbeeld, ik ging altijd uit met vrienden, altijd leuk, gezellig. Maar ik zocht naar liefde. Ik zocht naar vrede. En toen ik aan het uitgaan was, was het helemaal mooi, aardig, feesten. Maar toen ik thuis kwam, was het altijd een down gevoel, een leegte in mijn hart. En toen mijn vriend vertelde me wel over God en vertelde me wel over Jezus. Maar ik dacht van, daar moet je niet mee komen. Op een gegeven moment toen zat ik in mijn kamer, ging ik op mijn knieën, zei ik tegen God, als u werkelijk bestaat, laat het mij zien alstublieft. En op dat moment vulde God Gods liefde in mijn hart. En vanaf dat moment was ik helemaal veranderd. Zo begon mijn pad naar...
Zomaar patsboom?
Zomaar patsboom.
Kan dat echt?
Dat kan.
Ja.
God doet wonderen.
Ja.
Het ging niet zomaar patsboom van... opeens was ik veranderd, opeens ging het niet meer uit, opeens was ik perfect. Nee, ik had nog steeds heb ik struggles, maar...
Wat zijn je struggles?
Wat mijn struggles zijn, dat ik te nieuwsgierig ben en waardoor ik snel fouten maak en
Ik heb een aantal clipjes van jullie gezien en jullie zijn een heel merkwaardig stel. En de ene keer gaat het om hele mooie auto's en mooie dingen. En de andere keer zing je weer een liedje over uw liefde, wat heel integer is en heel ingetogen. Waarom die combinatie?
Uw liefde, het gaat over Gods liefde naar ons toe. En ik geloof naar iedereen toe. En daarna gaat het weer over materialistische dingen. Maar dan laat ik de andere kanten van zien. Van je kan het hebben, maar het moet je het leven niet dragen.
Wij gaan even kijken naar uw liefde.
Kijk. Ik heb goed nieuws, dus luister hier. Veel geld? Nee, dat hoef ik niet. Maar als sta ik achter, weet ik dat hij mij voorziet. Neem ware liefde aan, dan zal je het zien. Het werkt voor mij, dus ook voor jou. Neem liefde van de Heer aan, het is voor jou. Hij is aan het kruis doodgegaan. Hij heeft spijkers in zijn handen en voeten moeten doorstaan. Dat is Jezus, God de Zoon. Ik noem hem zo en ik noem hem ook. Emmanuel, God met ons, zie je wel, zie je wel. Emmanuel, God met ons, zie je wel, zie je wel.
Ik wil de liefde voelen, liefde geven, liefde krijgen, aannemen. Liefde voelen, liefde geven, liefde krijgen, aannemen. Liefde is zo puur, uw liefde is zo zwaar.
Ik moet je zeggen, ik was echt onder de indruk toen ik het voor het eerst zag van de kwaliteit. Want jullie steken er heel veel tijd in, hè?
Klopt, klopt.
Ja. Je hebt het zelf geschreven, dat liedje?
Ja.
Uw liefde. Heel veel jongeren groeien op zonder echt te weten wat liefde is. Nou praat je veel één op één met jongeren die niet gelovig zijn. En dan kom je en zeg je, jongens, God is liefde. Zeggen ze niet, joh, zout op of wat ook.
Klopt, ja. Ze zijn er niet gewend. En heel veel, zoals we net ook over spraken, hebben heel veel jongeren geen vaderfiguur gehad. Geen vaderliefde of geen moederliefde. En dan kampen ze daarmee. En dat laten ze weer zien in hun beweegreden in het leven.
Ik vond het erg mooi. Jullie gaan zo meteen nog samen een nummer zingen en rappen. Wat is jullie droom?
Onze droom is op...
Kijk die kant op.
Oh, sorry.
Wat is onze droom?
Dat komt hier niet meer aan bod.
Wat is onze droom? Onze droom is om het evangelie te verspreiden natuurlijk. En te zorgen dat we voor iedereen eigenlijk bereikbaar zijn. Wij willen niet de artiesten uithangen. Nee, wij willen het evangelie brengen en zorgen dat men ervan leert. Dus ook op grote optredens, op grote concerten staan, op grote festivals.
Ik hoor jullie op Q-Music. Dat is wel leuk dat jullie daar gedraaid worden.
Dat is wel mooi.
Ja. Ben je er trots op?
Ja, zeker. Want het, ja, het is toch een grote platform waar ons muziek toch gedraaid wordt. Dus,
ja. En wat is jouw droom?
Ja, mijn droom is sowieso het evangelie verspreiden onder iedereen, maakt niet uit wie. Ja. Bijvoorbeeld staat, als zou de vijgenboom niet bloeien. En dan pas ik het zelf in mijn leven toe. Als zou ik struikelen in mijn leven. Als zou ik niet slagen op school. Als zou ik vallen. Als zouden mensen mij pijn doen. Als zouden mensen mij teleurstellen. Nochtans zal ik juichen en jubelen in de Heer.
Ja.
Dus zo persoonlijk heb ik het gemaakt.
Ja. Prachtig. En jij?
Klopt. Voor mij staat hij in psalmen. De Heer is mijn redder eigenlijk. De Heer is mijn beschermer. En hij beschermt me alle dagen, elk moment.
Ik vond het heel leuk om met jullie te praten. Jullie zijn heel inspirerend. Heb je nog iets te zeggen waarvan je dacht, nou, ik had gehoopt dat Jan dat zou vragen, maar dat heeft hij niet gedaan?
Nou, Jan, je hebt nog niet gevraagd of we op EO Jongerendag mogen staan. Voor de 12.000, 14.000 jongeren
nou,
en ouderen.
Iets meer. Ja, ik zal jullie van harte aanbevelen.
Dank je wel.
Jullie zijn lekker niet onbescheiden, hè?
Nee.
Goedemorgen. Ja.
Nou. Zo hoort het, toch?
Zo hoort het. Oké. Goed. Vrienden, ik ga jullie alle twee een boekje geven. Jullie kijken naar Out of Power. Jullie kennen Bobby Schulen. Bekijk de wereld door Gods ogen.
Hartstikke bedankt.
Dat doen jullie ook. Dat vind ik leuk.
Dank je wel.
Dank je wel.
Vond het erg gezellig. En heel serieus. Fantastisch hoe jullie op jullie manier met grote passie en met grote inbreng over die liefde zingen die altijd blijft. En ook als onze vijgenboom even niet bloeit, nochtans. Hè?
Dat zal ik juist onthouden. In de Heer.
Oké. Okay. Shepherd Grove zet nog even in de wacht. Kijk, wat willen jullie doen?
Nou, wij zouden graag een liefdesnummer willen zingen. Ook weer liefde. En dit gaat het over, dit keer gaat het over dat liefde een bewuste keuze is die je maakt in alle tijden van je leven. En niet alleen wanneer je verliefd bent of wanneer je vlinders in je buik hebt, maar dat je bewust kiest voor je partner. En daarover willen we gaan zingen.
Na na, na na, na 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 na. Na na, na na. Na 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 na. Ik wil meer, meer en meer van jou elke dag. Meer en meer, meer en meer van jou als je lacht. Ik wil meer, meer en meer van jou elke dag. Meer en meer, meer en meer van jou als je lacht.
Ik blijf je trouwens zien en ik hou van jou. Niet dat ik zonder je kan, kies me bewust voor. Ze vinden je koud, voor mij blijf ik. Wil één met je zijn, hoor alleen maar. Het besef is er dat ik met je verder wil. Niemand anders behalve God die met ons verder chillt. Ik moet je lief hebben trouwens, ik wil niet anders. Wil jij dat ook samen oud in grijs veranderen? Je ziet er prachtig uit en niet alleen je innerlijk. Leuk doen, kussen, gevecht, lui doen. Dat is wat je wil zonder volgorde. Wat jij wil schat zolang jij en ik bij worden.
Ik wil meer van jou, douche. Ik wil meer van jou, mami. Ik wil meer van jou. Coração, ik wil meer van jou, mon amor. Ik wil meer, meer en meer van jou elke dag. Meer en meer, meer en meer van jou als je lacht. Ik wil meer, meer en meer van jou elke dag. Meer en meer, meer en meer van jou als je lacht.
Zo.
Ja, jongens, knap gedaan. Amigos, ik doe even zo, hè?
Kijk.
Goed. Oké, en wij gaan naar Shepherd Grove. En van deze fraaie, mooie rap en zang naar de klassiekers.
Thank you.
Well, it's such an honor today to have John Mark Comer in the house. If you're not familiar with John Mark Comer, I believe he's going to be, and already is, one of the most influential young pastors in America. John Mark is the pastor of Teaching and Vision at Bridgetown, which is, it's called A Jesus Church, and it's a big, just, you know, lots of young people, millennials, and lots of coffee and bikes and people walking in the rain without umbrellas. And, you know, before this, in 2003, John Mark was a college pastor at a mega church, et cetera. I'm just going to keep going on and on. Would you please welcome with me John Mark Comer?
Thanks, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a joy to be with all of you today. Good morning. How are you? It is so great to be here in sunny Southern California. I am from the land of rain. Yeah. The reason we drink coffee all day is because it's so horrible outside and depressing. So it's so great to be with you in the sun. It's so great to be with your pastor, Bobby. What an amazing man. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, if you have one. Romans chapter 1. This is a letter written by a guy named Paul to the first century church in the city of Rome. And to kick things off today, let's just read his opening paragraph. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. He writes this: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, what you have open right now, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among all those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That is a mouthful, by the way. Paul would not do well on Twitter. That's all I have to say. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Now listen to this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the ways that you could start off a letter, the first words out of Paul's mouth are grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just here. This is not a one-time event. Turn to the right in your Bibles, a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians. This is another letter written by Paul to the church in the city of Corinth. There's actually 13 letters written by Paul in the New Testament. Let's read a couple of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church, thank God that's not your name, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and me, everybody here, their Lord and ours. Listen, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the page over to his next letter, 2 Corinthians. This is another letter written to the exact same church, but years later. Let's read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul goes on and he writes a letter to the church in Galatia, then the church in Ephesus, then the church in Philippi, then the church in Colossae. And he starts every single letter the exact same way. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy, Paul, was all about grace and peace. He starts all of his letters, every single one in the New Testament, with the exact same formula. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's pull this apart for a few minutes and see what we can learn. First off, grace. The word grace is charis in Greek. Can you all say that out loud? Charis. Well done. The standard greeting in the ancient world, if you were writing, say, a Greco-Roman letter, was charin, which means greeting. So you would start a letter with charin. But Paul tweaks it just a little bit from charin to charis. If you were to hear that, you would think to yourself, "What? Wait, did he just say charis, not charin? Interesting." Grace. What is grace? The Greek scholar and theologian Spyro Zodiatis said this about grace:
that which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor, and acceptance, a favor done without any expectation of return, the absolutely free expression of the love of God, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver, unearned and unmerited favor. Well said, Mr. Zodiades. Now, if you have been around the church for any length of time, if you grew up in the church, you've been here for a couple of years, you all recognize and know about that last phrase, unmerited favor. That's how most people think about grace, as unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, you don't earn it, you don't strive for it, we're not even worthy of it. It's because of the heart and nature of God, and it's beautiful and that's true. But that's just a fraction of what Paul means by grace. Paul actually uses this word charis 100-plus times in his letters, and he doesn't always mean unmerited favor. In fact, most of the time, that's actually not what he's getting at. For example, here's a line from his letter to the Corinthians. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, he means the other apostles, yet not I, but the what? Grace of God that was with me, or that can be translated inside me. So what is grace here? Here, grace is a raw, uncut, creative power to work hard. Paul had grace to preach the gospel. He had grace to plant a church. When theologians talk about grace, they talk about it as God's empowering presence. God's power and God's presence, the sense that God is with you, that is what gives you and I the ability, that makes it possible for you and I to do what God has called you and I to do. To sum up, here's my definition of grace. The lavish, opulent, raw, untamed, scandalous blessing of God, unearned, undeserved, illogical, disproportionate, poured out through Christ over every facet of your life, and the living presence of the Creator God deep inside you, poured out through the Spirit in a flood of euphoric joy, transcendent peace, and limitless power to be and do and live up to God's calling on your life. How's that? Is that okay? Yeah. If that sounds over the top to you, that's because grace is over the top, right? Grace to you. And secondly, peace. Now, let's talk about this. This word peace is Irene in Greek, where we get the name Irene. Anybody here named Irene? No, none of you at all. Well, that would have been a really great moment right there, but it's not. And the problem is that this English word that we throw around, peace, doesn't come close to capturing the depth and texture and weight and meaning of this Greek word, Irene, because in English, peace basically means the absence of conflict, right? War and what? Peace. But to Paul and to the biblical writers, peace or Irene, it's not the absence of conflict, it's repose and calm and rightness right in the middle of conflict. And chaos and pain and entropy and unemployment and death and disease, and right in the middle of all the brokenness of the world that we call home, this sense of rightness deep in your soul. One scholar defines peace as harmony, tranquility, wholeness, well-being, salvation of the total person, reconciliation of persons and societies to God as well as to one another, peace at the deepest level. Now, here's where he's getting that from. Paul writes in Greek, if you know the New Testament. We have a translation into English. But Paul thinks in Hebrew. Long before Paul was an apostle, he was a Jewish rabbi. That's his world and his worldview and his background. And the word peace in Hebrew is shalom. Now, shalom is the standard Jewish greeting. It was in the ancient world. It still is to this day. Go to Jerusalem. I was there not long ago. Go to New York City, wherever. As an American, I say hi or hello. How are you? If you're Jewish, you say shalom. You say it like with a little oomph in your step, right? But shalom is way more than just a greeting. It is this heavy, deep, theological word all through the Hebrew Bible, or what we call the Old Testament. It is a one-word cipher for the Garden of Eden. It is a shorthand way. Every time you hear shalom, it is a shorthand way to tell the Genesis 1 and 2 story. It's, in one word, a way of saying life as God intended it to be, life as it's supposed to be. There is this peace that in the language of Paul transcends understanding, that does not make sense when you connect the dots between your life, your circumstance, your story, your background, what has or has not happened to you, and the peace, the well-being, the joy, the delight, the shalomness, life as it's supposed to be-ness, deep in your bones. Grace and peace to you, shalom to you. But Paul's not done. Then, the second half of that greeting, he goes on to say, from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this grace and peace isn't from Paul, right? He's not the source. He's the conduit. It's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful way of saying that everything that you and I are longing for is found in God and in his Son, Jesus. One of the biggest issues in Paul's day was the divide between the Jews and the Gentiles, or non-Jewish people. It was a racist culture. Bigotry was the norm. But these churches that Paul was planting and then later writing to all over the ancient Mediterranean world, all over the Roman Empire, were made up of Jews and Gentiles, which was unheard of. Jews and Gentiles in the same room following Jesus together, not as enemies, not even as friends, but as family, as brothers and sisters. Now, Paul's greeting is ingenious because grace, or charin and charis, that was a Gentile word. That's how a Gentile would talk, a Greek or a Roman or a Latin. That's how they would talk. But peace, that is a thoroughly Jewish word. Paul is saying to a mixed race church of Jew and Gentile that everything the Gentiles are longing for and everything the Jews are longing for is found in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of our deepest desires that ache deep in the core of our being. Only in him can our hearts find fulfillment and satisfaction. Now, this brings gravity and weight and oomph to Paul's greeting, right? If I were to say to you, hey, everybody, I have a message for you from my buddy Dave. He wants me to tell you grace and peace. You would all think, who cares? Who is Dave? Like, okay, I don't care. But what if I just said, you know, I was actually just with the Pope the other day. We're really good friends. This is a hypothetical story, by the way. And he's a rock star. He's amazing. And I said, oh, I'm actually going to be with Shepherd's Grove, the Hour of Power. And he said, really? Are you serious? I love that church. Tell them, tell Bobby, I have a message from the grace and peace to you. Now, if I said that, this is hypothetical, by the way, but if I said that, you would think, are you serious? In the same way, here's Paul's message. Hey, I have a message for you, Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Anaheimians. No, LAans, Southern Californians. Let's go with that. I have a message for you, grace and peace. From who? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, from the source of your deepest desires. Well, that is really something. I don't think Paul would call grace and peace a greeting. I actually think he would call it a blessing. You know, a blessing is a foreign idea to us in the West, but it's a deeply Hebrew idea and a deeply biblical idea. A blessing is kind of one part greeting, one part prayer, and one part command. The first blessing in all of the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1. We read that God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and all human beings, and he said, anybody know? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. That was the blessing. So a blessing at its core, in its kind of rootedness, is a life-giving word that you speak over somebody. It's a word that you speak over somebody that is freighted with power to create something out of nothing, to call something into existence. We all know that there's power in words, right? It's written in the Hebrew wisdom literature that we call Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Have you heard that before? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Meaning when you speak over somebody, a friend, a spouse, a stranger, a family member, anybody, when you speak over somebody, you have the power, just in language and relationship, to create or to destroy, to bring life or to bring death. That's why I hate it when parents say negative things about their children. I'm a dad, I have three little kids, and I can't stand it when I hear a fellow dad or a fellow mom say, oh, Jack, he's such a terror.
oh, Susie, is she such a little demon? Well, of course she is. You just called her that. All she is doing is living up to your expectations over her life. All little Jack is doing is living up to your expectations in life. Your children will become, to a large degree, what you call them and say they are. That's why I love to say to my kids all the time, Jude, Moses, Sunday, you are the most obedient, well-behaved, happy, calm children on the planet. Well done. I love it. Seriously, on a regular basis, I sit my three kids down before bed on the couch, and I go one to one, and I speak a blessing. Jude, my firstborn, you are charismatic. You are full of life and love. May you spread life and love to every room that you walk into and every person that you come in contact with. Moses, you are strong and smart, and you have a really great name. May you lead God's people deeper into the kingdom of God. Sunday, you are beautiful from the inside out. You are motherly in your love and care and patience with those that are little. May you love and care for everybody around you and grow into a mother of God's children. And you should see what it does to my three little kids. And they know me, I'm dad, and I'm like not perfect, and they know all of that. But they just straighten up, shoulders back, eyes wide, grin ear to ear, and they march out of that room ready to take on the world, right? Because your kids will become, in large part, who you tell them they are. You tell them, hey, you're no good at sports, you're terrible at math, you'll never amount to anything, and they will never amount to anything. Or they will spend the next 50 years trying to prove you wrong. We are, in larger part than any of us want to admit, what other people say is true of us. Why? Because words are pregnant with a creative power. All that to say, we need to recapture this idea of a blessing. We lost it over the years, right? In fact, that English greeting, hello, used to be longer. It used to be health to you. Health to you is not a greeting. That's a blessing. But over the years, it's devolved from health to you, a blessing, to hello, to hi, to hey. To, if you're my generation, the chin nod. That's it. By my kids' generation, with the iPhone generation, it's going to be like, eyes, that's all you're going to get, like a quick eye glance, that's all. Right, we've lost it over the years. Listen, every time you start a conversation, whether it's 20 seconds long in the middle of church or hours long, you have a chance in that moment to take a greeting and to elevate it to a blessing and to speak life, because greetings matter. Secondly, here's my next question. What if we were to see ourselves as conduits of grace and peace? When Paul says grace and peace, he's not just being a nice guy. There's way more to it. He sees himself as the conduit and God as the source of grace and peace. He sees himself as the equivalent of the UPS truck driver, right? Ding dong, here's a package, it's from God. What is it? Grace and peace. There you go. Right? That's how Paul were to see it, as his job and his responsibility to pass on grace and peace. Jesus put it this way, if you've ever read the Gospels of Jesus, freely you have received, now freely what? Give. So we have received grace from Jesus. We have been made right with God the Father through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Because of Jesus dying in my place and in your place, now through faith and repentance, we can become part of God's family, where we become a son, we become a daughter of God. We have grace and favor and even empowering presence from God because of Jesus. We have peace because of Jesus. Peace with God, peace with who we are, peace with the world, the sense of joy and peace and well-being deep inside us, no matter what life is about. And it's all because of Jesus, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But with all of that comes a responsibility, a joy, a privilege to pass on all of that grace and all of that peace. You are an agent, you are a dispenser, you are a conduit, and so am I, of grace and peace. Think of that this coming week when you're with your spouse, you're with your kids, you're with your neighbor, you're with your coworker, your employee, your employer, whoever it is, some random person on the side of the road. Think, how can I bring grace to this person? How can I bring peace to this person? You know, last night we flew down from Portland and we had a bit of a fiasco at the airport. We got there an hour early and I had checked in with my phone, but we had one huge suitcase with all of my family stuff to drop off at baggage. So we get the ticket from the kiosk and then we have to wait in line to drop off the bag. But it takes quite a while. It's really slow. And by the time we actually get up to the desk to drop off one bag, the agent at the ticket counter for Alaska Airlines says, you know, I'm so sorry, but you just missed the cutoff by 2 minutes. We can't take your bag. And so, well, that's lame, but can you just put it on the next flight? No, I'm sorry, you have to travel with your luggage. You'll have to take a flight tomorrow. I'm like, what? I still have 40 minutes to my flight, what? And she said, you have to take a flight tomorrow. I can't, I have to be somewhere tomorrow morning. Have you heard of Our Power Lady? Seriously, I have to be there. Like, I have to be there. And she said, well, one of you has to stay or you have to throw your bag away. We can't throw our bag away. It's like our entire wardrobe. What in the world? And then she says, oh, by the way, there's a problem with security. So you actually have to run or you're not going to make your flight at all. So there I am. I call my wife over run over quick. We have to do something. One of you, Tammy, I think you have to stay. I have to be there. I guess I'll take the kids. Ah! So I leave my wife with the bag. My wife, who's not a crier at all, had a really hard week, and she just bursts into tears right there. And then the lady's like, you gotta go. You don't have time to talk to your wife. Go. And so I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. Kids, come with me. And so we start running, leaving my wife there in tears with our giant suitcase, and we have no clothes or anything, running to, and we run through security, make it to the plane. The door is closed. We finally get them to open the door. We get in, and then my wife, meanwhile, works her magic on the manager. She calls for the manager. But then she's really nice, works her magic. Long story short, the manager says, I'll let you through, but I don't know if you'll make it to the plane. You better run. So then my wife is running through the airport trying to get there, and they open the door back up, and she gets on, and there's applause for her all over the plane. All that to say, an hour into the flight, the head stewardess comes over to me, really nice lady. She gets down on one knee, and she says, I just want you to know that your wife is the sweetest person I think I've ever met in my life. I see a lot of angry people, and I don't blame your wife if she was mad. That was a really frustrating experience, and she was so gracious and so kind and so loving, it made my day. That's because my wife, I won't tell you what she said about me, I wasn't as nice, but that's because my wife was a conduit for grace and peace. Now, finally, last question. What if we started every letter with grace and peace? Paul started Romans with grace and peace. He started Corinthians with grace and peace. He started Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and all of his letters with grace and peace. What if we did the exact same thing? What if we started it all with grace and peace? If you go read the New Testament, he actually ends almost all of his letters with the exact same formula, with grace and peace. Here's my point. What if we started and ended everything with grace and peace? Would you stand with me right now? May you, all of you here at Shepherd's Grove, all of you watching on television, may you be filled with grace, with lavish, opulent, unbelievable favor from God Himself over your life, blessing, life-giving power deep in your bones to do whatever it is that God has made you to do. May you be filled with peace, with a deep, pervasive sense of well-being and harmony with God, with people, with your body and soul, no matter what the circumstances of your life are. Everywhere you go, around Southern California and all over the world, wherever you live, may you spread the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Beste vrienden van Hour of Power, opnieuw hartelijk dank voor het kijken naar deze uitzending. En wat komt daar veel inspiratie, vreugde, vrolijkheid, maar ook diepte uit tevoorschijn. En ik hoop dat dat ook jouw leven mag bepalen. Tot volgende week, hoop ik.
joy.